Well, I thought that might be a good video in light of the start of the Olympics. How many of you have seen a little bit of it so far? Quite a few of you have. Go Canadian hockey team. Boy, doesn't that video really capture a lot of things? You know, well, let me first say, hi. It's great to see you. It's great to be back. You know, I was talking to Tristan about coming back to preach, and, you know, after kind of finishing ministry and starting another church and you guys moving on, us moving on and coming back, and the we missing each other, all that stuff. And I said, you know, T, there's really a good way that I could just make it easier on everybody. Tell you what I'll do. I'll preach really long and really badly. Okay? So here we go. Well, hey, you guys are finishing up a series on the unknowns of life. How so many things in life are just like up in the air. You don't know where it's going to land, what's coming, what's going. And all, surrounding all of that is this anxiety that's very common for us. You guys are as a church, kind of in that transition, the unknowns, who's the next pastor is going to be. For us, it's the unknowns of how this church is. I mean, it's all kinds of. I could list to you 50 unknowns. You know, we're looking in the area of Shorewood. That's that much we know at this point. But how it's all going to work, we don't know. Lots of unknowns. And with that comes a certain level of anxiety or fear. And here's what anxiety does to us. Here's what fear of the future does to us. It sends us into safe living mode. Isn't that visual, like powerful? The gripping of the balance beam and holding on white knuckled with all you got, just so badly wanting to get through it. And you don't care how you get through it, you just want to get through it. Well, I want to talk to you this morning about, as we end up this series on the unknowns of how to deal with life and to free up our grip from some of the anxiety that life holds for us. Mac preached a couple of weeks, or last week actually, Mac Wiener here was preaching on where we give our attention to. How many of you were here for that? I'll see your hands. A lot of you were. Great message. I wasn't here, but MP3 works really well on the website. Just a side thought. And as I was listening to it, I thought, wow, what a powerful way of looking at this. What you give your attention to is where your heart will go. And if you give your attention to the things of this world, and for this purpose of this message, if you give your attention to the things that create anxiety, then your life will be small. And you will grip onto whatever it is that gives you any measure of security, and that will be your life. Who wants to die that way? And yet, many of us, all of us, in one area or another of life, are doing just that. And that's a problem. Because it's not God's intention for us. It's not God's desire for us. But what you give attention, if you give your attention to the questions of fear, you will live a fear-based life. Small. If your questions are all, oh, what if I get sick? What if the baby's not okay? What if my boy or girlfriend really doesn't love me? What if the finances go south this year? What if I lose my job? Fear-based questions, one after another, rolling over your life. If you give your attention to those things, your life will shrink. This is Valentine's Day. And for some people, this is the hardest day of all. Because in the recent or distant past, something happened that broke trust, that made you question whether love is real or reliable in any fashion. And you find yourself wanting to go into safe living mode. You want to hold on and shelter yourself. Did you know that in the Bible, the way God talks about it, fear is the enemy of faith, hope, and love, and of a full life. Fear is the absolute enemy of those things. The most frequent admonition and guidance in the Bible is do not, what? Do not fear. And God doesn't leave it at that. He shows us the way. That's what we're going to talk about today. What is it that banishes, that chases away anxiety and fear, that helps us to get up on the balance beam rather than grip and live a small life? Turn with me in your Bibles to page 1209. 1 John 4, very practical, helpful, profound guidance on what it is that chases fear away. 1 John 4, verse 16 to 21, page 1209. Now, as you're turning there, just a little bit of background. The commentator that I read suggested, doesn't know for sure, suggested that the recipients, the people, the church and churches that would read this letter had some issues. They were struggling with what is right to believe and what is kind of whacked out belief, okay? True and false belief. They were also struggling, apparently, with issues of relationship. Basic trust. This is the kind of thing that shrinks most people. A strain in a marriage. A conflict with another church member. This insidious, don't trust what that person's doing when I'm not looking kind of stuff that's going on. And so the writer of the letter of 1 John seems to be trying to address it, not by hitting the problem head on, but by pointing to the solution. What's the solution to the anxiety that's created when you don't know how things are going to work out? The remedy is something called perfect love. Let me read it for you. First of all, if you've got your Bibles open there, the verse 7 and on is talking about loving one another, love coming from God, Jesus being the expression of God's love for us. Now, in the second half of verse 16, it goes this way. God is love. Do you see it there on the page? God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. Stop there. This is where most of us shrink wrap our faith. I am so glad that God sent his son Jesus to die for me so that his love lives in me and I live in him. And when I die, I get to crawl off the beam and go like that. Right? I can't wait to have the freedom in eternity. But it doesn't end there. God wants us to have the freedom now. Now. So the text goes on. Look at this. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So perfect love chases away. It banishes the fear that paralyzes us. And that's what we need to capture this morning. The perfect love. What is that perfect love? Well, if it's nothing else, it's at least this. It's at least reliable. Reliable. You heard the story of Francis Chan, this pastor guy who was on that video? What a life he had. His mother, his step, all these people. How could he trust anything to be reliable in his life when all his foundation points were taken away? He clearly found it in his God. A couple weeks ago, Tristan was preaching, MP3 again. Great sermon. Faith as being reliance and trust and confidence in God. And not just in God out there, but God close. It's in the context of relationship that faith as reliance and trust grows. It's reliable. It's reliable, my friends. Now the question is, have you come to the point where you view that love of God as authentically and totally reliable, perfectly trustworthy? And if we're honest, the answer to that question is most of the time, some of the time. But I have to be honest, even in my life, in all of our lives, in at least one area or another, it's not now. Not now. Too much damage, too much hurt, too much irritation, too much frustration. that reliance is not so easy. In the commentary that I was reading on this text, the guy who's actually a professor at Wheaton College here in the area did a survey of his students in which he asked about their experience of the Christian life, whether it was more characterized by an understanding from early years of the love of God and the grace of God, or was more motivated by the fear that God might punish them. 90% said the other, the second. That their Christian actions were motivated by fear that God would punish them. Does this click? Something doesn't make sense. Perfect love casts out fear. But we're afraid of the one who casts the fear out of us. How can you be afraid of the one whose love is going to cast out your fear? Is everybody confused? There's something amiss about this, right? One of the students wrote this: I feel like God punishes me for sins all of the time. I feel that there is something I am being punished for. I know that's impossible because there are not enough minutes in the day for God to punish us. I probably should not call it punishment, but that's the way I feel about God's justice. I know of God's love and blessing for me, and for that I'm eternally grateful and thankful. But I live with this fear that one mess up and I'll be punished again. Do you ever slide into that way of looking at God? Just one mess up away from God being ticked off and mad at you all over again. If that's the way God has been in your life, how can you rely on His perfect love to cast out your fear? Because you're terrified of God. And so the starting point for us this morning is to embrace something called beyond love. Beyond love. What is that? It's not something that comes after love. It's what love carries us through and beyond. It's love that carries us beyond. And here's how it works. Here's how it works. You and I, we mess up frequently. Not just with people we know and care about, but with God Himself. We just mess up. We sin. We blow it. And yet, God the Father loves us anyway, beyond our mess ups. Like any good parent would with a child who screws up. I love you, even though sometimes, you know, I love you beyond what you've done. I love you anyway. And this is the reality that you and I have got to settle in our hearts for once. And I don't know if we ever get it for all, but we certainly work toward it. That God loves us beyond. A couple of texts that point this out. Hosea 11, verse 1. Let's put that up on the wall. Hosea 11, verse 1. The book of Hosea is really a book about Israel being compared to a prostitute who commits adultery time and again on her husband. And Israel has so, it's really not even a word for it, so rebelled, so violated the covenant of God. And yet we're told in chapter 11, verse 1, God speaking, when Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. And the entire book of Hosea is a book of calling Israel back beyond, in spite, and after all that they have done. 1 John 3, verse 16, into the book that we're looking at this morning. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Beyond the reaction of the Israelites, beyond the actions of the world, beyond your and my personal, our families, this churches, the new church that's being, beyond. God sent his son to bear the penalty of our sin. 1 John 4, verse 10, this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Two things. Beyond us loving him. While we're still holding on with all we can, white-knuckled, to the balance beam, trusting ourselves to hold on to whatever we can to get through this life securely, not even looking to the cross because we're too busy with our nose on the beam. And yet, while doing that, God sent His Son to show us a different way, a different beam, a cross, to free us from the beam that we cling to so frequently. Do you know what your beam is? I don't know what it is. You do. There's a beam that all of us have that we grip with white-knuckled intentionality. The beam of a secure job, of a guy or a girl that we invest way more than we ever should because they're imperfect. Our money, our stuff, our cell phones. Kidding. What is it? Here's what we need to come to see. That the perfect love of God goes beyond. It doesn't deny, it doesn't minimize in any fashion what is real about us. It embraces us as we are. So that leads me to two exhibits, and then we're going to have communion, and then the last part of the message. Exhibit A. These are not real people, but quite honestly, people came to my mind as I thought about it, kind of blending together of different people that came through my mind that I know here at Christ Community, kind of capturing what God's about doing. Exhibit A is a man who grew up not really understanding what love was, harsh environment, rough life, seeking love in all the wrong places, and loving his work, holding on to it as his balance beam, hour after hour after hour. And then loving the bottle and getting into that too much and having all kinds of problems in life because of that. Until one day an older man, gentleman, came into his life and showed him the love of Jesus. And loved him enough to call him on the carpet for some things, but to walk with him through the journey toward wholesome living. To have seen that God loved him beyond the stuff that he had done, beyond the stuff that had been done to him. And he opened his heart up for the first time and received the love of God in a personal way. Exhibit two. A lady who has spent years of hunkering down at home, just hiding from everybody. Why? One too many times got her heart broken. One too many times said, I'm going to trust, violated. And she finally said, enough. No more. No more. Until she came to Women's Connections. And after a period of time here, just soaking in, receiving the mentoring and the love of other women around, and through those women, was pointed back to the cross, to Jesus. And came to realize that it didn't matter what other people had done to her, though that was painful in her life, there was something beyond. There was something that put it in perspective. There was something that set her free to risk loving again, not because people were so trustworthy, but because God was reliable and His love would never fail. And she opened her heart and she began to reach out and she began to touch people's lives as her life was changed from the inside out. My friends, that is the perfect love that casts out anxiety. That's the perfect love that casts out fear. That's the perfect love that enables us to go into the unknown and to try again. Because the heart is focused on Him. And so, my friends, this morning, our experience of communion is the experience of that perfect love of God that casts out fear. That helps us maybe for the first time or in that area of life to finally ungrip the fingers and to open ourselves to what God has in store. I'd like to have the elders to come forward. And I want to say to you who believe in the name of Jesus Christ as the leader of your life, that you're welcome to take communion with us. And my prayer for all of us this morning, whether you partake or not, is that you experience something of this reliable love of God. This is simply the symbol. This is the visual that Jesus gave to us, said, do it regularly to remind yourself how perfect and trustworthy my love is for you. The night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks to his very insecure disciples, he said, This is my body which is broken for you. Take this and eat this and do this in remembrance of me. Which, by which he meant in remembrance of my love faithful for you for all ages. Please take the element and hold on to it. We'll celebrate communion together once everybody's received. The element is being passed around. Let me just reflect with you for a minute on the Bible's connection between love and grace, very closely tied, very close. The grace of God connected to the love of God. Just how beyond does that grace and love go? Well, it goes beyond to this level that it gives a full day's wage to a one-hour worker. Some of you know that Bible story. 1 hour. 1 hour before you die, you surrender your heart and life, and the grace goes beyond all the things you did in rebellion against God to that moment. It goes beyond. It goes beyond to the point where a murderer and an adulterer in the Bible is called a man after my own heart. The story of King David. Embraced by the love of God, called with purpose and vision, embraced despite the things he had done. It goes beyond to a man who persecuted the church, the bride of Christ, to set that man free from guilt, to give him a new life mission. And because of that going beyond, all of Asia Minor was touched with the message of Jesus Christ, and new churches popped up all over the place, and people surrendered the knee to Christ because the love and the grace of God went beyond to a guy named Paul. Listen, if none of them are beyond the pale of God's grace and love, then neither are you, and neither am I. Reflect on that reliable love of God. Maybe this is the moment where you finally need to have the breakthrough for your life as a whole, or for that corner that you hold out from God. That corner where you grip the balance beam with all of your might, whatever that balance beam is, to protect yourself and to hold on to your own control of life. And to finally say, God, I release. Because your love is so deep and so wide, is so reliable and perfect and pure. And I will trust it now. My friends, take drink, remember and believe that the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was poured out for the forgiveness of all of our sins. You know, it'd be one thing if we ended the message right here and we all left saying, wow, what a wonderful thing to reflect on, the love of God for me. But you know, that serves a problem all in itself. It's all about me. It's all about my freedom, all about my security, all about my releasing grip so I can feel better. No, God never leaves it there. And this text that we read this morning doesn't as well. So I want to talk to you before we leave this morning about something called stand-up love. Let's show that here on the wall. Stand-up love. What do I mean by that? Well, if you're laying down on the balance beam and you're holding on with all of your might, God is saying it's time for you and me to stand up, to get up. And I went on image search on Google and I found this little picture that you see right now. This is called the Dare to Love Dog. I kind of like that. Because he dares to get up on the beam. And I want to be a Dare to Love Dog. I want to, with God's strength, Learn how to stand up and reach up. I don't want to end my life holding on for dear life. I want to end my life standing up and reaching out. And my friends, that's exactly what God calls us to do. There's a story in Mark 10 where Jesus interacts with a rich young guy who comes to him and says, "So what do I need to get to heaven someday?" You know, that's a question many of us kind of key in on. What do I do to get there? And Jesus says, "Well, are you keeping the commandments?" He says, "Absolutely." And then he says, "You lack one thing." What's that one thing? "Your possessions, your money. Go sell everything you have and then come follow me." And the man went away sad, still gripping. Because what does God do? The thing that we most hold on to is the only thing usually that God requires us to give up. That's the impact of that message. Are you willing to peel your fingers off the stuff you most trust to trust me? But you know what really gripped me about that story as I reread it was this verse. Mark 10 verse 21. Jesus looked at him and what? And loved him. He loved him while he was walking away. While he was returning to his balance beam. You can just see that rich young ruler walking away from Jesus, going inside of his house, closing the door, getting on the beam, laying down, and gripping it again. "All my money, all my possessions, I can't give you up for anything." And what we're told is that Jesus loved him. That impresses me. Because we serve a God who is willing to both challenge us and love us simultaneously. We are prone to challenge or to love. We are inclined, especially if we're annoyed or irritated or if we're violated, we become confrontational, either avoiding or confronting. That's the human tendency. Jesus merges the challenge of the young man to give it all up with the loving. This is written by an author who's observing this situation. He's seen Jesus love the rich young ruler while challenging him. So it goes for us. Three things in application. First of all, see others as God sees them. See others as God sees them. Are you able, this is harder than it sounds. Are you able to look at a person who is gripping on their stuff so much that they forgot to buy you flowers today? Are you able to see beyond? Are you able to see beyond a person who is just annoying to be around and see that they're a hurting individual themselves? Are you able to see what God sees in them? God saw in that rich young ruler an insecurity and a fear that racks all of humanity, and he loved him. Are you able to see beyond and love a person even when their fear keeps them from loving you very well? Second, receive others as God receives us. Now, for just a second, put yourself into the body of the rich young ruler. God receives me. God loves me even when I mess up again and I hold on too tight to things to secure myself. God receives me. Then it's time for me to start receiving others. To stop making excuses for why they don't deserve my time, my attention, my care, my help, my mentoring, my guidance, my whatever. He received me. Finally, give fearless love. Here's where it really ramps up. Where you not just get up on the beam, but you dance on the beam. The dance of love in a world that is craving it, so craving it, so needing it, unable to give it back to you, be prepared. That's why God fills you. God overflows through you so you can overflow to others. I know that some of the students this weekend in the 30-hour famine, they were talking about some of that. Being so blessed and the overflow pouring out to others. I love what Pete talked about. MP3. Love 6200. I got the pin. Love 6200. The testimonies of students whose lives forever changed by the love of Jesus. How did that happen? It happened because somebody reached beyond. Pete or another student, somebody reached beyond. And their lives were forever changed. Fearless love. You can't give fearless love unless your heart is confident in His love. But when it is, oh, what can happen. Oh, what can happen when a whole church of people gathers together with fearless love, says we are so secure in what God has done for us. We, the sky's the limit with what we can do for Him. I gave you two exhibits. I'm going to close with a third. This one I share with you with the okay of Mary Jo Haas. Just over a little while ago, I was here on a Saturday morning leading the memorial service for Brent Haas. And I know quite a few of you were here, maybe some of you weren't, but you got to know this place was packed out with people whose lives have been forever touched by a guy who loved Jesus. You got to know something about him. Brent had a very hard early childhood, growing up years. He's adopted, but the circumstances, I won't get into all the detail now, but the circumstances of his early life were harsh and strict. And he wrote about it in a narrative that he shared with us in a leadership group and that he shared with me personally. But that's not the focus. His growing up years, so harsh, so strict, so loveless. He thought of God as a harsh and strict judge. He talked to me often about that. But something changed. He met God. And then he writes in something that he calls the miracle. He said the first step after this change happened was to come to a new understanding of who God was. He was no longer obligation or memory. Now He is a Father to me, forgiving, loving, comforting, supporting me, because I finally opened up and allowed Him to come to me with love and forgiveness. I have even come to a new awareness of what love is, written by Brent Haas. And you know what's so beautiful about it? It's not just that his life was changed, but that at his memorial service, hundreds and hundreds of people, so many of them students, came up here to testify to the love that they received from a man named Brent. A guy who grew up in a strict and loveless environment, but who along the way came to experience the incredible embracing love of God, and who stood up on the balance beam and danced the dance of love so others could be embraced by His love too. My friends, that is what you and I are called to. And with His love rocking your world, He will use you to embrace the world around you. Let's pray. God, thank You so much that we can be back together worshiping and thinking about who You are. God, You hate sin, but You love us who sin. Thank You so much, Jesus, for what You did for us. And may we, Lord, identify where it is we are still holding on to the beam with all of our might. And God, set us free. Thank You that You love us even while we're just too stubborn to let go. But God, keep prying our fingers off so we can stand up and embrace the love You have for us and then let others experience it, as so many did in a guy named Brent. Thank You, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen.